Let's turn in our Bibles together for our scripture lesson. The first reading is from the book of the Psalms, Psalm 20, verses 6 through 9. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give glory and victory to the King. Answer us when we call. Our second reading is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 19, and this reading takes place while Jesus is on the cross. John 19, verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And now let's turn together to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to read verses 51 through 56. Matthew 27. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, the word of love, the last word of love that we are looking at today, is that word, "It is finished." It's a very short word. It's a word of triumph, the word of victory. And it is a really important word for us to hear, and it's a really important word for us to understand. The Old Testament, or the New Testament rather, was written in the Greek language. And the word that Jesus spoke, saying, "It is finished," is in Greek only one word, tetelestai. And it is indeed a powerful word packed with meaning and truly eternal significance. What it doesn't mean, and what sometimes people might think it means, is, "Phew, thank goodness that's over. Thank the Lord that it's done." What it really means is more like, "What I came to do has now been accomplished. It is fulfilled." For those of you that are language nerds and students of linguistics, I'd like to tell you that that word, that Greek word, is in the perfect tense. And that means that it is something that has been completed in the past, but is relevant for today and has ongoing impact into the future. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it was done on that cross 2,000 or so years ago. It means something significant today, and it will mean important things far, far into the future. It's a really important word to know and understand. And as I was looking at that word and thinking about that word and praying over that word, it came to me the question that I needed to answer and the question that you need to think about is, what is it? When Jesus said, "It is finished," well, what is it? How can we understand what Jesus means and how important it is if we can't answer what it is? In the passage that we read, there are four answers to what it means. Four dimensions that we should be able to unpack and be able to celebrate. What is finished? Creation's careening toward destruction is finished. It's popular nowadays, and especially in Christian or evangelical circles, to say that what the gospel is all about is about our souls, and it's about being made right with Jesus. And that's an important part of it. But we also know by looking at the fall into sin and understanding what is revealed there, and what we see by just looking around us, is that sin has affected the entire creation. And Jesus came not only to save our souls, he came to save the earth. And when Jesus said and declared in his dying breath that it is finished, the earth responded. The ground shook. The rocks split. There was a geological celebration of the victory that Christ had won on that cross. It says this in Romans chapter 8. For the creation was subjected to frustration. The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know, it says, that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up until the present time, and now it is celebrating. So we say and come to understand that the earth is part of Jesus' saving work. And we can tend creation with hope and share in the victory of Christ that goes right into the soil and right into the rocks. And so we can share in that victory of Christ. It's another thing that it means that Jesus says, "It is finished." Well, what is finished is ignorance. Ignorance of that deep and divine truth. A problem that we have as humanity is that we have been told some terrible lies. And so very often we have believed the lies that we have been told. The enemy of God, that great deceiver, is Satan. And he has been called, and this is written in John chapter 8 if you want to look it up, a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he speaks, he lies in his native language, for he is a liar. And he is the father of lies. Some of the lies that he has told us and some of the lies that we have believed is that God is irrelevant. Even if he exists, which is a big question mark for us, we don't need God in our lives. We're fine on our own. We're self-sufficient. We can make a go of it by ourselves. No problem. Thank you very much. A lie is the life that we are living now is all there is. There is no future. There is no hope. The lie is you've got it right if you make yourself the center of your universe. If you're going to build a throne, put yourself on it. What we hear in the "it is finished" of Jesus is that that ignorance is finished, that now we can know, we can grow in our understanding of God and grow in knowledge of the grace of Jesus Christ. And in that knowledge, we share in his victory. So creation is redeemed. Knowledge is granted to us. But there's another thing that is finished when Jesus is on the cross, when he declares that, and that is death itself is finished. When Adam and Eve, according to the story in the first part of Genesis early in the Bible, that what they brought into the world was death. Death, it is written, is not God's intention for the world. God is the God of life. And only sin brought the reality of death upon us. When Jesus on that cross gave his life, life was returned to us. You might have heard it said that Christians want to call themselves those that are born again. And it is true that is what we are. That when we give ourselves to Jesus, that the death that we are destined for is replaced with the life that he has won. And so when we are children of God, we have already begun eternal life. We have to wait for Jesus to return for that to be evident to all. But we know that even if we close our eyes in death, let our eyes open to eternity, and we are with God and look forward to being with him forever. We celebrate life. And when that which looks like death comes upon us, we are not gobsmacked by it. We are not derailed by it. Because we know that it is not the end of the story. We share in the victory of Christ. There's one more thing that is finished that we should understand and thank God for, and that is that alienation between us and God, our Creator. If you read and study the Old Testament, you know that the temple in Jerusalem was a very important place. That temple was a place of gathering of God's people, but it also was the place that was the symbolic throne room for God himself. In the very center of that temple, there was a room that was called the Holy of Holies. And that was the throne of God on earth. The high priest could only enter that room once a year. And the story is that when the high priest went in, that he would have a rope tied around his ankle so that if he died in there, that they could pull him out because no one else was allowed in. When Israel, when Jews were defeated the first time by Rome, the general Pompey went into the temple and he wanted to see this God of theirs, so he barged into the Holy of Holies. He expected to see an idol, a statue. But it was empty because God cannot be limited or defined by any image. What kept people out of that Holy of Holies was a curtain, a thick curtain. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," that curtain was torn from top to bottom, because now that which separated us from God has been removed in Christ. We have access to God. We are welcomed by God. We are embraced by God. We are the children of God. And so, in that beautiful, powerful, wonderful way, we share in the victory of Christ. So Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished. That which I came to do has been done." Well, if that finished for Jesus, that was the time when things begin for us. Now we can start to function obediently and effectively in the world that is ours as the people of Jesus. Knowing fully the grace of God that is ours in Christ, we can understand Him and glory in Him and have peace with Him, living joyfully and hopefully. When the life that is ours in Christ, we can be obedient and walking confidently with God, trusting Him and giving Him the glory of honor. We say, "Thanks be to God." Friends in Jesus, it is finished. Thanks be to God. Friends in Jesus, our new life has begun. Thanks be to God. Amen.